Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another podcast episode of Merkaba Chakras. Today, we go deep into the supernatural Bible changes, commonly known in pop culture as Mandela effects, with lifelong Bible researcher and pastor, Reverend Bill Bean. Now, many people worldwide recall firsthand experience of fond memories of certain Bible verses, which now act as residual in movies and advertisements because the printed Bible verses are not what many people recall. We'll discuss if the supernatural Bible changes are trying to wake its readers up and give clues to what is happening to our reality. So with that, Reverend Bill Bean, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you so much, Vaughn. It's a pleasure to be with you and looking forward to a great interview here.
I'm super excited. I've always wanted to record an episode with a pastor or a reverend about Bible changes. And one of the things that every time I reach out to someone, it's kind of a taboo subject they don't want to look at. They know it exists. And it makes it really hard for them to recite some of the scriptures that are most commonly recognized and recited because they have changed in the Bibles. And so it makes it really hard. But what I found is many of the pastors and reverends just do not want to acknowledge it. So let's get into why you're acknowledging it. So please tell us how you got started into researching these Bible changes, which we commonly know as Mandela effects, or in Buddhism and Hinduism, parallel realities.
Yeah. And how I came to know about it was through a client. I had helped, I perform exorcism, spiritual deliverance. I'm a spiritual advisor as well. So I help people in a variety of ways who have a variety of different problems. And so I was helping a lady in Scotland, and I want to say probably 5 or 6 years ago. And she, after the deliverance session was over with, she had sent an email asking me, did I know about this Mandela effect? Had I looked at the scripture changes and all this? And I have to tell you, I was really annoyed at first because I'm always very busy. Mm-hmm. My operation is almost like a 24/7 because people come to me. I'm immersed in the sufferings of others on a daily basis. And so I was kind of annoyed by the message. I thought, I don't have time for this. This sounds so preposterous. Yet, when I went to delete the message, I felt that God was stopping me in my spirit. I felt like he was telling me to take a look at this. She had sent a video link, a YouTube link, and I didn't want to do it, but I obeyed what I felt God was putting on me. And I clicked on the link, and this guy had made a video about the changes. And the first one was Isaiah 11:6, which is one of the most well-known scriptures and verses in the entire Bible. And there are paintings and statues and little figurines like this right here made of it. And it's the verse that talks about, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. And it's a verse that everybody knows. And suddenly he's saying in the video that the verse had been changed, and it now said the wolf. So I stopped. I have a bunch of Bibles in my home, in my office. One is nearly 200 years old. And so I grabbed them all. And, you know, I laid them all out across the desk here. And I opened to Isaiah 11:6, and I nearly fell out of my chair. I was so shocked and startled by what I saw, that it now says the wolf. Doesn't say the lion and the lamb anymore. It says the wolf. And I couldn't reconcile that. I could not, because it's one thing if books come out of the printer off the presses that have had things altered in them. That's one thing. But if we're talking about, you know, the Bible, which is the most popular book in history, and if we have these Bibles in our possession, you know, in our homes, in our offices, and those words are changed in Bibles that are in our possession, that becomes supernatural. And so it took me a while, a couple of weeks, to really, for the shock to wear off. And then I continued to watch the video, and he pointed out many other scriptures, which I went and researched those as well, and was just absolutely astounded to see these changes. And there is no way. And I've had debates. I had one debate with a pastor in Tennessee who's a Bible scholar. Mm-hmm. And he attacked me and had people attacking me in any which way you could think of, people threatening me. You just wouldn't believe it. It was terrible. But the fact of the matter is that this is real. These things are really happening. And in that debate with him, when I mentioned just this little bit that we're talking about now, he said, it's always been that way. And I must not know the Bible, because those things have always been in there. And I'm thinking to myself, and I said at one point, I said, well, if you believe that that's true, well, then you never knew the scriptures in the first place. And this is why God told us to hide the word in our heart, because the day would come to where these changes would take place. And I'm going to read this to you from a little Mandela website that I have that lists a lot of these things. This is Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. And I think that's what's happening here now with these changes. And it's so sad and unfortunate, Vaughn, because what's happening here is that each generation that comes along, you know, after this point, they won't know any difference. So they'll see these words in the Bible and they'll go, what are you talking about? That's what it says there. They won't know any different. And so this is a tactic. I believe that it is the devil who is behind this. And this is, so Daniel 7, verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So you mentioned something about a parallel universe. I can believe that, because I believe that our God, Yahweh, created this universe and probably many others. There's no limit to what he can do, or what he, you know, his thoughts are not ours, his ways are not ours, so he can do whatever he wants to do. So perhaps the devil, Hasatan, Satan, knows this, because he held a very high position in heaven. And when he and a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven, perhaps they came down here, and this was a very cleverly calculated plan to usurp Yahweh by doing these things. And through fallen angel technology, quantum physics, because I believe that devices such as CERN and D-Wave quantum computers probably have a part in this, because when we're talking about, again, having things in our possession, not only Bibles, but other things as well, as I'll point out as we go along here, when they are altered and changed, that becomes supernatural. There's no mm-hmm. other way to explain that. Mm-hmm. And so some people like us, you and I, we could see this and other people, but yet other people, they absolutely, even if they see it, and this applies to most of the pastors and churches of today, mm-hmm. Even though they know something is wrong, A, they're either living in denial, or B, they just flatly refuse to talk about it for a variety of reasons. And that is sad and unfortunate, because if I'm a man of God and an agent for God, then I have an obligation and responsibility to serve God, but also to serve my fellow man. And as part of that service is to give truth and lead people in truth. Otherwise, it is a disservice to God and a disservice to my fellow man. So I don't know what these people, you know, what they think they're going to accomplish by just trying to put this under the rug or whatever, but it's not good, and it's a disservice to people. It's very sad.
Right. And, you know, I came to the Bible changes in a different structure. So obviously everybody knows I'm Buddhist, born and raised into the metaphysics of Buddhism and consciousness. And we know that consciousness creates reality. But not to go too far into advanced esoteric Buddhism, I'm familiar with many of the popular scriptures in Bible because I grew up in the United States, and many of my friends are Baptists, LDS, Mormon, LDS is Mormon, Christian, Presbyterian, I mean, you name it, Jewish, etc. And as an open-minded Buddhist, I'm always welcome to different ways to understand God and consciousness and kind of how we can live our best version of ourselves in this life. Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with these verses because these are the most common verses that are used that I have familiarized myself growing up with. So I have almost memorized. And but when they started changing and I started reading, I'm like, this is different. And everybody just has that baffled look, but nobody really questions it. I'm like, well, something's happening here, and you guys need to question it. So, because if you don't question it and you don't set it straight, then it's going to be the downfall of what you communicate to other people. Because yeah. you have to have, because you know, because there can't be contradiction. So, so anyways,
yeah, it's not truth.
It's not truth. It's untruth. You're spreading untruth. Yeah. So, anyways, but. Not necessarily my journey, but as an outsider looking in and then seeing this in real time, one of the most baffling things was to see a lot of pastors completely skip sermons that relate to these most popular verses that have changed. They can't. What I found is many of them refuse to read them in church or to have their parishioners read them. They like completely skip over the most commonly used popular ones that I've grown to get familiar with through my friends attending various churches with them. Now they're not even talked about. So let's go through some of this. And you know, just for people to understand, in Hebrew, abracadabra loosely means I create what I speak. And in Buddhism, what you believe, speak, focus on as intentions leads to actions which are tools used by a soul's own consciousness, as discussed in the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths. So consciousness creates reality, which is why there are no coincidences. So the more awakened we are to the nature of reality, the more focused dominion we have over our sojourn within samsara. So all knowledge in this tradition believes that it leads to wisdom, unconditional love, and compassion. So everyone grab your oldest Bible you can find for this exercise. We're going to kind of go into this with Reverend Bill Bean. It's going to be so much fun. And we're going to go over the common scriptures that many people believe have changed. So I'm going to quote a line, Reverend Bean, mm-hmm. and you will fill in the blank based off your remembrance of using it in your sermons. And if you have a personal experience to tie to that, please explain it. So here's my Bible, you guys. If you guys are looking at the video version, here's my Bible. Okay. It's an old Bible, Holy Bible. Okay. It is from 1883. It's so old, it broke apart, you guys. Oh. And if you guys can see, there's like dust falling down. The papers are like, oh my God. And I tell you, it came out of a pilgrimage or something. So anyways, so I open it very, very gently. You can see there's pieces flying. Oh my God.
That hilarious. Is amazing.
Okay, so the reason why I brought the oldest Bible for this exercise, you guys, is that it's a point, prove a point. So this is the Holy Bible from 1883 was when it was printed, and it was printed by the New York American Bible Society, distributed in the United States. Now, in 1883, there isn't very many competition for Bible publishers, so this is like the main one. So most of the Bibles printed at the time was going to be from the New York Society of American Bible Society.
All right. So that's what most people were reading from.
Yep. That's what most people, since 1883. And the other thing also is most of the Bibles were published and bought by middle class or upper middle class families or debutantes. So working class usually weren't illiterate enough at that time to read the Bible. So they would go to the church and trust that the pastor is picking the appropriate verses and, you know, teaching the appropriate lessons. So anyways, this was printed since 1883. So for you guys who are like, well, you know, they changed the printing when they did the printing press. Da, da, da.
No.
It's been around since 1883. So where did you get that verse? That's the question. So let's go into this exercise. First, look at Isaiah 11:6. So here's the quote, and I would like you, Mr. Bean, to fill in the blank. The blank will lie down with the lamb.
Yeah, well, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. And go ahead, give them the punchline now.
All right. Okay, you got to be patient with me because I'm opening up this really old book, so I'm trying not to let it.
I'm hoping break. Those pages don't disintegrate as you're trying to turn them.
That's gonna be funny. Okay, let me see here. I got it marked here. I usually will put it in a Ziploc bag and never open it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Isaiah 11:6. And here's what it says. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and mm-hmm. the leopard shall lie down with the kid, mm-hmm. and the calf, mm-hmm. and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Is that what you remember
reading
to your parishioners?
Not at all. And so, again, I've been called an antichrist. I have been called an agent for the devil, leading people away from God. In that debate, the pastor Bible scholar said to me, if I don't have my Bible, I don't have anything. I said, well, then I guess you don't have anything, because if you're worshiping a Bible, you're in big trouble anyway, because we're not supposed to worship anything other than our glorious creator. And so it's just, I can't fathom it that people would go to those lengths to debate over something, those lengths to try and destroy someone's reputation for standing up for the truth. And when they know full well that what they're saying is not true and it is not possible. And so I just shake my head. I stand for the truth. So whether the whole world turns against me or people hate me for that or whatever, I'm sorry. I don't want to be hated, but I also have a responsibility and obligation to God and my fellow man. So I'll stand for the truth.
Well, let me read you the further continuation of this. Mm-hmm. So this one is Isaiah 65:25. And you guys, when you guys are going through this, if you're not familiar with reading Roman numerals, just go into an internet search and just type in Roman numerals 6, and then I'll show you what the symbol looks like so that you know how to go through and look at them. So so especially for the audience that isn't familiar with the Bible and how it's orchestrated, when they say like Isaiah 65 is the Roman numeral, and then 25 is the verse. So that's how it's organized. Just FYI for people doing this exercise for the first time, because this is an international podcast that goes to Asia and other parts of the world. Amazing. So 65:25 Isaiah, here's what it reads.
I'm going to my Bible to look at this too. So go ahead.
Okay. Isaiah 65:25. Here's what it reads. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
Yeah. So again,
now the wolf and the lion are best friends.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it is a demonic deception. And I think what this is, and if you really break this down and analyze it for what it is, this is what the theme and what the message is saying is accept evil as good, because it's all good and everybody's together, good and evil, and don't worry about anything. You can embrace anything and everything because it's all good, and it so there is no evil because evil's good. That's pretty much what the message and the theme in there is.
Wow. So that's very confusing for teaching about morality. If there's
because the scriptures tell us those who call evil good and good evil, you know, that's wickedness right there. And they will do woe to those. That's what the scripture said. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And so there you go. I mean, it's inserted in there now to say accept, embrace, because everything is good.
Right.
And that's wrong.
So let me ask you.
Absolutely wrong.
So we're going to go a little bit more into this. So, and you guys, once you guys get into this, you're going to really, I highly recommend you go into a lot of the other ones as well. These are the most popular ones that many people recognize. And I as well. So here is the popular one. And it's perfect because we're recording this on Father's Day.
Yeah.
So Matthew 6:9-13.
And, you know, I was just going to say that to you. So this was, I was just going to say, so perfect. This, I'm glad you're bringing this up now.
So happy Father's Day, everyone. But Reverend Bean, please recite the Lord's Prayer as you remember reciting it your whole life and being taught.
Yep. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forevermore. Glory, hallelujah. That's how I remember it. And I'm glad you're bringing this up. So I'll let you talk about it, show the changes now.
All right, you guys. That is Matthew 6, Roman numeral 6, verse 9-13. And this has always been written since 1883 in America. This is how it's always been read. So if you guys have it different, where did you get that information? Mm-hmm. Because this is how it's always been published. So this Bible's going to break apart after this episode.
I'm praying for you that it stays together.
We had a good finish it. Okay. So I got Matthew. Okay. 9-13. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the difference there is verse 12, where it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
But there's a couple others as well. So from the very beginning, the first verse, our Father who art in heaven now says our Father which art in heaven. So who is changed for which? On earth now says in earth. We don't live in earth. We live on the earth. We don't live in the earth. And so our Father now it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. False, wrong. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So those changes right there. And then, yes, you're right. The debts and debtors, trespasses has been exchanged for debts and debtors. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you go a little further down, you will see about if we don't forgive others of their trespass, we won't be forgiven of our trespass. So that is confirmation that those words in there were trespass.
Yes, I'm going to read that part. So if you go from 14 to 16, it says, and this is why there's an inconsistency. For if ye forgive men their trespasses,
correct,
your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses,
that's right,
neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So why the difference between debts and debtors and trespass and trespasses?
And that takes a whole new meaning. When you're saying debts and debtors, that's a whole new meaning now. That's not, you know, a trespass is someone that does something against us, an offense. And we knowingly or unknowingly, willingly, unwillingly trespass against others from time to time. So that is an offense. So a debt and a debtor, that's a whole other meaning. Now you're bringing like
money.
Yes, you're bringing. So that's a whole different ball game there. And so it's just like every one of the other ones. You know, some are very subtle, just like with the on earth, in earth, and others are blatant and blatantly evil as well, that shows evil intent. And I'll read a few of those as we go along. But so for people that would say, okay, well, what's the big deal? When you hear a couple of these other ones that I'll read off, it is a big deal. And you'll see that there is a blatant attempt to mock God and to absolutely mock the Bible and the scriptures.
Well, I will tell you, Mr. Bean, Buddhism will back you up. So, but
wonderful.
With scientific evidence. But back to this, there's another one. Because I know we might have a couple that kind of overlap. So I want to make sure I go over my list. Right. And then you can sprinkle even more enlightenment. So this one is actually Mark 6, verse 14. So you guys, chapter 6, verse 14. Okay. And so emojis are literary memes for conveying emotions. It is not taught in English to put the back end of a parenthesis after a semicolon. Okay. That's not taught in English. And it's used in the emoji keyboard insignia, like insignia. Okay. So if you go to Mark 6, verse 14, I think it's so, I have it here, but it's so small. I don't think you can read the text. So it basically says, and King Herod heard him, for his name was spread abroad. Emoji, wink emoji. For his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do shew forth themselves in him. So anyways, that was interesting. But and that was kind of like in that verse, When they put the emoji, it's almost kind of like a wink, wink, here it comes, yeah, kind of like
exactly
a pun,
right.
Kind of like a pun, you know, like, and, okay, here comes the punchline.
When I first saw those, and there's emojis in other places in there, when I first saw
they
those,
usually put
I
them
said,
at the point where they're going to be like, hit, hit,
yeah,
you know, kind of like a,
so again,
wait for it.
This is preposterous that these types of things would have been in the original writings of the Bible. And in any Bible, there's no reason for it, because the wink, wink, again, what is that saying?
It's like, yeah, wait for the punchline.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's ridiculous. It's preposterous. Yet those things are now in there and you just shake your head. And another thing that you would shake your head at is the grammatical errors. That, and again, the Bible is the most widely recognized book in the history of mankind, the most popular book, the most widely distributed, and probably the most well-written. You know, something like this, they're not going to have any of these grammatical errors in the way that some of these things are reading off now. And it's, you just look at it and you go, no, there's no way, there is no way on this earth that you would see some of these things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's another one, you guys. So I hope you're enjoying this interactive exercise that we're doing. Okay. And remember, do not be afraid.
No, there's okay? nothing to fear you, in the situation. This is, yeah. And what I hope, Vaughn, is, and I've said this many times, is I pray that this will strengthen a person's faith, because now is the time to really draw closer to God than ever before. And so if we could do that, then we'll have a covering over us. We'll have God's protection, favor, and covering, and empowerment as well, and discernment. And so this is it's so vitally important for people to understand this, because the devil, so all life operates on frequency and vibration. So if Yahweh spoke the world into existence, he did so by his voice, which was a frequency coming from his voice. So the devil knows how to manipulate those frequencies. He's called the prince of the power of the air and the air waves. So he knows how to manipulate the frequencies. And so every person, we hope and we want to see, and we all want to be on high frequency, high vibration. And if we can attain that and maintain that, then life is good. Life is positive. No one has a perfect life. We all have a set of issues and challenges. That is life. However, if we're operating on high, then we're up for the challenge and we'll be able to meet those challenges and continue to move forward. But if a person is on low frequency, low vibration, life sucks. It's like the black cloud over the person's head and nothing goes right. There's always a problem, a situation, a drama, and never an answer. And that black cloud continues to amplify, magnify over these people. And so that's what the devil wants. He wants to create, so he uses bully tactics to create fear. He wants fear and confusion, which causes division. And that's what this is all about, because as I stated to you earlier, you know, here I've had other Christians damning me to hell and call me an agent for the devil and all these types of things because I'm speaking the truth. So they're in that. The devil's having a good laugh because there's division and confusion.
Mm-hmm. And I will say this, I have to clarify this, because for the Buddhist audience and the Zen audience, mm-hmm. like the terms of the devil and hell, in those traditions, that they don't really recognize that, but they do recognize low consciousness, mm-hmm. and low consciousness, low beings with lower consciousness that are further and further away from the light and from away from a direct connection to God, mm-hmm. is of lower consciousness, and they kind of swim in that suffering and those kind of lower energies. So
negativity,
they can,
yeah.
negativity and the world that that is created out of that negativity is not, well, it's the furthest away from what you would call paradise. So I just wanted to, so for some of the audience who are going, I don't know about that, it's yeah. it's another, if we're getting lost in terminology, it's the same concepts. So yeah. Okay, Genesis 1:1. Okay, so I'm going to read this, and I would like you to fill in the blanks. In the beginning, blank created the blank and the earth.
Yeah, and now it's changed. It was heavens and earth, And now, or is it, see, I'm confused myself. Was it heaven and earth and now it's heavens and earth or vice versa? It's been changed now. And so it's, I think it's, is it heaven and earth now or heavens and earth that they've changed it?
Well, so you guys, the question is, in the beginning, blah created the blah blank and the earth. So let me read it. So this is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void.
Void, yeah.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he basically goes over the whole 7 days and how things
creation.
Creation.
And it was, so, I always thought it was heavens. And now it's heaven, I think. So it always confused me how they either added the S or the N. But yeah, it's just, and again, just like I said to you, it's confusing to me. And that's what it's designed to do, is to confuse people and have people stop and go, wait a minute.
Are there multiple mansions or is there one mansion?
Right. Exactly right.
That's the common, that's the common sermon that I've been familiar with of all the different Christian and Catholic churches that I attended growing up with my friends.
And heavens, always, heavens means skies. That's what that word means, skies. So he who is in the sky is the heaven.
Yeah.
Or heavens.
Yeah. So is there like one mansion or multiple mansions? Because that's the most common one. Oh, there's so many mansions in heaven. Well, there's no mansions now. It's just one. So,
yeah, right. My father has many mansions and now it's mansion. Yeah.
Yeah. So the heavens with the S now has no S. And
yes,
so the
correct.
Question is this a typo?
No.
But then also, in some books, it says, in this one from 1883, it says God, but in some books it says Yah, which is Y-A-H, both means the Lord. And is that lost in translation between different versions?
Yeah, because God is a title. So God in Hebrew means Elohim, which means gods. And so Yahweh is the Most High Elohim. So that's why the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me, because there's other gods under him, other Elohim. He is the Most High Elohim.
Yeah, and in a Buddhist perspective, just to give another perspective, so nirvana, which is the void, and then samsara, which is creation coming out of the void. So living beings as caretakers of the planet and dominion over reality. So Jesus in Buddhism is Yeshua. So in Hebrew, yesh means exists, being something, and when you add the ah on the end of the words, it's in reference to God. So Yeshua, the actual name of Yeshua, that Buddhists call Isa, or what Western Christianity or Catholicism calls Jesus, Yeshua is God exists in this being. So meaning God exists in man incarnate. So it's already in the word.
Yeah. And so even in that, there's a conflict, because biblical scholars and I studied this through encyclopedias that supposedly the Hebrew name of Jesus is Yahshua with an A, not an E, which means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves through him. And so even in that, there is conflict and dispute. And so the devil is always in the details when he's creating division and confusion. And you're right that in the 1611 King James Bibles, it was not Jesus, it was Jesus with an I-E. So that was the translation. So when,
In Islam, it's Isa, because that's what,
they
commonly called him Isa. And in Buddhism, they refer to him as Isa because a lot of the indigenous Muslims in his area called him that. That was the nickname they gave him.
Yeah. And so in Hebrew, the letter J does not exist to this day. And the letter J was the last letter added to the English alphabet as well. So I'm not saying that there's not power in the name of Jesus, but what I am saying is we can invoke the power of God by using the name of Jesus through our intent. And so it always comes down to intent. And but the fact of the matter is, according to what I've studied, his Hebrew name is Yahshua, which means Yahweh saves. And then I guess when the translations took place from Hebrew Aramaic to Koine Greek, it came into Jesus. And so then from there, it evolved into Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a practice in Buddhism and Hinduism that we do when we get, what we do in is notate the etymology of words in Buddhist studies. And it's very common to condense like a whole concept into a word, which shortens the whole story to save space on the scrolls. Mm-hmm. So words, and this anybody can do this when you're confused about something. Words have history and geography and concepts. For example, in Buddhism, nirvana is a simplified word for the whole concept of spiritual emptiness of the blissful void of source or God. And samsara is a simplified word for the whole concept of how the dual nature of reality in how physical forms are created in the physical experience of life for souls within the consciousness of God to incarnate into and experience existence, consciousness and dominion within the playground. So this is explained in a beautiful way in this section of Genesis that we're talking about in the Bible. Now I bring this up because I see the argument that the word magi is used in some translations of the Bible instead of directly referencing the three wise men from the east as they, but the word magi is not singular but plural and references the three men, which is further coined for magic or magis, because they were practicing metaphysics and consciousness studies that seem supernatural to the untrained eye, but in reality is really scientific. So etymology will, if you go into etymology of words, you will get the history, you will get all the evidence to prove exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Even with the simple name of Jesus. So
it's
let's
all
go
there.
It's all there. There's no hiding. You just have to, but people, they don't expect people to do the research.
I've gone into churches, Vaughn, and spoken a little bit about this, where I said to the people in the church, can you tell me the name of God? And most couldn't. They couldn't tell me his name is Yahweh. And that's just mind-blowing to me. But it's not being taught. It's not. So there are cookie-cutter messages that are being taught in most of today's churches. And there's no real, and I hate to be critical, but there's no real effort to bring forth any type of studies or digging into historical things to have that level of understanding. And it's very sad and unfortunate, and I think it's a disservice to the people that they're not being taught these things. And at the same time, we should all want to seek knowledge and thirst for knowledge, because knowledge is power. So I can't put the blame entirely on the church. I put it on each and every individual as well, because, if you really want to know truth, well, then you got to seek it. And Jesus said, if you seek the truth, you'll find it, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is usually consistent everywhere. It's not just consistent here. It's consistent everywhere. That's why it's truth. Let me ask you this. So let's go to the next one. This is Matthew 18:20, you guys. Go to that section of your Bibles. Okay, I'm going to ask you the verse, and please fill in the blank. For where there are blank gathered in my name, there am I with them. So what is the blank? What's the word that fills in that popular?
Where two or three are gathered in my name. Matthew 18:20. Yeah, where there are, I thought it used to be, now I could be wrong about this, Vaughn. I used to think where there are two or more gathered in my name, there also I should, but now it says two or three.
Okay. I remember for where there are two or more. I always remember it says
me too.
Two.
Because
this is the most popular ones. And when you're going to convert people into different, into the theology, they use the most popular ones. So there's the consistency.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, it's like drumming the same one. So, you know, I've gone to some growing up and I go, I got that one. And they're like, dang, she knows it. Girl, I have been to a lot of these and you guys use the same material. So I have it down.
And see, so again, that speaks to your commitment to seeking and thirsting for wisdom and knowledge.
Well, let's read what it says. Since 1883, you guys. Yeah. Okay. So Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Yeah. So I remember two or more gathered in my name. That's how I remember it. But it's just amazing that slight little thing can be added in there. And then that causes people like us to go, I don't remember it like that. So again, then there's others that would say to us, you're crazy, people. It's always said that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's another one. This one's kind of interesting because when you find this one's almost like the emoji one is like, how can you be so modern? And back then, like, is there a time traveler coming back into time in 1883 and printing this by the New York, what is it? The New York American Bible Society. Is there a time traveler in the midst or something? But here's a funny one. Exodus 13, verse 12 to 15, you guys. And so I'm going to read it, and I would love you to fill in the blank word. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slewed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn or man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that open the blank, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. What is that blank?
Well, it should say womb, all that open the womb. And now I'll let you reveal the word that's in there now, but.
Okay, this is Exodus 13, verse 12 through 15. Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that opened the matrix.
That's right.
And every firstling that cometh of a beast, which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slewed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opened the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. So my question here is, what as a pastor, what is it trying to tell us to do? Open the matrix and kill each other? I mean, what, I don't get it. What is it trying to tell us to do?
And again, yeah, you've taken something and went in a totally different direction. So again, it was womb and children coming out of the womb, but now the matrix. So the matrix, that tells me, in my opinion, that is a clear statement that there is some type of technology, which I do believe is through CERN and D-Wave quantum computers, that have the abilities and capabilities to open the matrix, which is these dimensions and dimensional doorways for entities from other dimensions and universes to come in. I believe that's what the statement is. It's clear to me that when you see matrix in that context, that's what it's saying. that well, is opening up these dimensional doorways for these beings to come in.
Well, let me ask you this. What kind of beings from different dimensional doorways that you open up through the supposed matrix that the Bible says to open up, what kind of beings want you to sacrifice yourself as a, like a sacrificial lamb? Like why would a higher consciousness benevolent being want physical killing or sacrifice when they open up? I mean, is this like, what are we?
So Vaughn, right there, you have the answer. The devil is in the details because his mission is to kill, rob, and destroy. That's what he sends people, demons to people for. That is the game plan. So out of his playbook, it's fear-based, trauma-based tactics, divide and conquer, and killing, robbing, and destroying. That's okay. His MO. And so
it says there in the Bible, since 1883, we should be sacrificing physical people to these, you know, when we open the matrix to these entities that come through the matrix and from these doorways or, you know, or whatnot.
It's just unbelievable.
That's moral, supposedly. Like that's, I mean,
okay.
If you're in a philosophy or in a church that's asking you to harm yourself or your loved ones in the name of.
Yeah, you better run from that place.
That was interesting.
Yeah. And again, so the devil is in the details and there's no mistaking that. And there's no way that you can reconcile that. So if I'm giving a sermon and I happen to read that and I accept that and try and push that on people, oh no, it's always said matrix. Well, no, that makes me dishonest. That makes me a part of the problem as someone that would push these things on people and tell them, no, it's always been that way. Accept that as normal, embrace that. And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to do harm to yourself or whatever, you know, that's fine.
Or to sacrifice and bring harm to somebody else in the name of the sacrifice.
What is that saying? I mean, that is saying that you're endorsing wickedness and evil, low frequency, low vibration, the most severe type of negativity that you can imagine and think of. So there's nothing good that comes out of that. Zero.
Yeah. Well, then the question would be, because in Buddhism and Zen traditions, there are concepts of different dimensions, different that's separated by frequencies. And the higher dimensions of consciousness have higher beings of higher frequency that are closer to the light and the love of source, God, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so it's just so foreign of a concept to even sacrifice or harm anything. And when you meet these beings of higher consciousness, it's just so contradictory. So anybody who recognizes that will do, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
Right off the bat, they would
right
go,
off the bat.
No, that's, this is not right. This is not right at all. And it wouldn't even feel right in your spirit as you're reading something like that. You couldn't possibly accept that and say, oh yeah, yeah, no, that's okay. That's what it's always said that. No.
Discernment is a number one lesson. Let's do another one. These are fun. Let's do another one. Okay, so this is Isaiah 8:12. Okay, you guys, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. And here, I'm gonna say it, and Mr. Bean, can you fill in the blank word that you recognize?
Absolutely.
You know, preaching in the Gospels. Okay. Say ye not a blank concerning all whereof this people shall say a blank. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread. What is that blank? So say ye not a blank.
Okay, so Isaiah 8:12, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
but what you remember before you read the verse, what do you remember it saying?
I am not sure on that one. I'm drawing a blank on that. So it says, say ye not, and that's Isaiah 8.
8:12. So
8:12. Oh, okay. Okay. 8:12. Let's see. Oh, I got it. Yeah. So I'm not really sure on that, Vaughn, because here it's saying do not call everything an alliance. These people say an alliance, do not fear what they fear. Do not be terrified. Alliance doesn't sound right to me there, that's for sure.
Which version are you reading?
I've got a Holman Christian Study Bible here.
When was it printed?
It's probably modern, you know, it's probably
modern. Okay.
Yeah.
The one that I remember growing up is the word conspiracy.
Yes, that's
conspiracy,
right.
Conspiracy.
That's exactly
and
right.
here's my example of the conspiracy. So I've had a lot of friends read this, and this is what made as a little kid growing up, you know, I never heard, they don't teach the word conspiracy in school. So this is where I heard the word conspiracy. So I'm like, oh, conspiracy.
No, you're right. I remember that. Yeah.
And it was, and the whole mysteries of the Bible and that History Channel documentary. I watched the whole thing because I love all the different stories. Mm-hmm. And one of the episodes was on you know, Jesus conspiring and doing a conspiracy and, you know, kind of shaking up the temple, and, you know, this whole thing about conspiracy, and it comes from this verse.
Yeah.
So let me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I do remember that now.
Oh. Yeah.
So now it's saying here, it's saying alliance.
Okay. So let me read the 1883 version from the New York American Bible Society that all the United States had. From printed as of 1883, Isaiah 8, 12 to 22. Say ye not a confederacy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. All, I have that on my site. Yes.
To all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So they basically say, do not fear the confederacy or be afraid of their antics, but instead fear the Lord and let him be your dread. So here's a little tidbit tip that we do in Buddha studies, okay? Because we have scrolls that go back all the way to like 2,500 or so years, and then we go back even further to Hinduism because we carry some of that stuff on. And some of the scrolls get so old that they lose their words, and so you have to do etymology. So I did a little etymology, and I said, okay, well, if you're going to change conspiracy, which is very popular, to confederacy,
yeah,
what does that mean? So I looked up confederacy. So I'm going to read this. It's going to be a little long, but you guys are getting the practice of what we do in Buddhist studies for old words that we don't understand or that confuse us. So if we look up fear often is used in replace of its original source, which is awe. So awe means to have a feeling of reverence, admiration, respect of, or fear. Robert Polchek's Wheel of Emotions, awe is a combination of surprise and fear. For example, children often fear the disapproval of their parents because they have honor and respect for their parents, okay? And so in the Bible, when it says to let him be your fear and let him be your dread, it's saying have reverence and honor for the awe of the Lord, mm-hmm. and you know, let him be your awe, okay? Not the confederacy. Don't awe the confederacy. Don't fear the confederacy.
Yeah, true.
Be in awe and admiration and reverence for the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's where the confusion of fear, because you think fear is, oh my God, I'm so scared of you. But the original word of fear is to be in awe and reverence.
That's exactly right.
So now, furthermore, I looked up conspiracy. So I'm like, okay, well, we're debating the word conspiracy and confederacy. So let me read through this real quick. So a conspiracy, according to Wikipedia, is also known as a plot, is a secret plan or agreement between persons called conspirators for an unlawful or harmful purpose, such as a murder or treason, especially with political motivation, while keeping their agreement secret from the public or from other people affected by it. In a political sense, conspiracy refers to a group of people united in the goal of usurping, altering, or overthrowing an established political power, depending on the circumstances. A conspiracy may also be a crime or civil wrong. The term generally implies wrongdoing or illegality on the part of the conspirators, as people would not need to conspire to engage in activities that were lawful and ethical, or to which no one would object. That's why there was this big brouhaha about Jesus, you know, exposing the conspirators.
Yeah.
Okay, the conspiracist theorists are trying to expose the truth of it. So then if you look at the word confederacy, okay, so that's conspirators, the original one that I remember in that verse.
True. I remember that as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that and the meaning of the conspiracy ties into that whole scene of exposing the unlawfulness and unethical behaviors of the rabbis of the temple in that whole scene of the Bible that Jesus was doing. So that makes sense. But now it doesn't say conspiracies anymore. It says confederacy. So I looked up confederacy to see, like, what is the change in the Bible trying to tell us? So here's what Wikipedia defined confederacy as. And you'll find this interesting. A confederation, also known as a confederacy or league, is a union of sovereign groups or states unified for the purposes of common action, usually created by a treaty. Confederation of states tend to be established for dealings with critical issues such as defense, foreign relations, internal trade or currency, like money, with the central government being required to provide support for all its members. So then you look up, what is a central government? A central government is the government that is controlling power over a unitary state. So what is a unitary state? You're going down the rabbit hole. So here's ultimately what the meaning of confederacy in the 1883 Bible means. A unitary state is a state governed by a single entity in which the central government is the supreme authority.
There you go. And as you were saying that, I looked up the King James verse in there, and currently it says, "Say you not a confederacy to all them." So that is in the King James version. So the Holman version difference to alliance. But the King James version is still confederacy, and what you're saying is absolutely right. And so again, the message that you would take out of that is that it's pretty much saying, don't worry about God and don't worship him, worship the confederacy, this conglomerate, this global power, which is in essence a global corporate power.
Monopolies.
And monopolies. All comes back to that. Yep.
You know, treaties that put that subjugate all governments, and they have supreme power over everybody's autonomy.
Yeah.
And their currency. Everybody's on the same currency. Correct. And the same religion. So, you know, I mean, this is getting into to Revelations, but what are your thoughts on the Bible changes giving us clues to steer away from impending disasters, such as the proposed, I don't know if the correct word is like beast system, one world governments, monopolies?
I think we're in it already. I think we're in it already. It's already began, and I think it's only going to increase, Vaughn. I think that they're going to, at some point, try and bring in that one world currency, and they'll do away with paper money, and everything will be digital, and you know, through cards and whatever. China has that system there to where if you get out of line, you know, you get your points knocked off and you can really be in a bad way. You can't travel. You can't do this. You can't do that. So it's probably going to come to a system like that, to where they have complete control over people. And if the people get out of line with the government, you know, and then and the rulers, which again is the beast system, they will be able to certainly create havoc within that person's life.
Well, you know, in China with the social credit system, if somebody, I saw this video on Twitter from this reporter in China, and basically this old man walked the street and he had a heart attack and something happened and he fell in the middle of the road, a busy intersection, and nobody stopped by to check on him or help him or anything else. And the reason why, according to a lot of the commentators written in Cantonese, because you had to translate it, but the reason why is if you help somebody, a bystander, then they assume that you are guilty.
Wow. And how sad is that, that our world is
There's no morality. Like you have to literally live in fear of losing your civil rights and losing your sovereignty and your livelihood for helping another person in distress.
That's what it's coming to. And again, the devil is in the details. So that is the blueprint for keeping people in the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living, keeping them on low frequency, low vibration. That way they are imprisoned and cannot move forward.
Well, in the version that I read, it says a confederacy, neither fear their fear nor be afraid. So don't be afraid of the confederacy and do Correct. Not be fearful of them. So don't be scared of their what they're proposing, and don't be living in fear of what they're proposing. It's actually a call for courage.
Yeah, it really is. And now is the time for people to understand this and to really step forward in what I call warrior mode, which is faith, strength, and courage. And mm-hmm. so if we're yeah. really operating in that level of faith, strength, and courage, then God will help us to overcome anything and everything. Daniel was put into a den of lions. Mm. God kept him safe and protected him through all of that. So if he would do that for Daniel, he'll do that for all of us. We just have to have that level of faith.
Right. Yeah, and that's really good too. Because when you notice these things, to find a way to empower yourself, because it requires some discernment. Like you hear that and this is what they're telling you to do. Do you toe the line and do it because you're afraid of losing your livelihood, your sovereignty, your XXX, or do you do the right thing that you know in your hearts of hearts is the right thing to do? So it's a test of morality and character.
I agree. I completely agree. And you know, with how I talk about these things, with these changes, I get messages from people all the time thanking me for speaking about it, because they went to their pastor and people at their churches, and they were ridiculed and just absolutely lambasted and really criticized for even bringing this type of thing up. And that is so sad and unfortunate, because now you're talking about destroying a person's faith. So if a person is committed to that church in that community, and then all of a sudden, you know, the pastor, the leader of that church is ridiculing the person and reducing them to the point to where they don't even want to go back to that church anymore. That could really have a negative adverse effect on their faith. And I spoke about this on my show last night, telling people, be very careful. Keep your praise and worship guided to God. Jesus himself said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He said, this is how you should pray. So he's telling us who to pray to, and this is how you should do it. And so it's sad, Bon, because some people, not all, but there are some that go into the churches, and all of a sudden they start worshiping the pastor or the priest. And now they're in dire straits because they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping that man, and that can put them in a really bad place.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, this could be argument for parallel realities, and it's actually shown that there are parallel realities from consciousness.
I can believe it. Yeah.
The Buddhists would say, and many of the Hindus would say as well, is that these are pivot points. Okay. Now you got to choose where you want to focus your attention, where you want to focus your energy, and what you focus on, you create. So if you continue to focus on the lower frequency messages, such as hurt yourself, salvage others, when the dimensional gateway of the matrix is open, and you just submit to that, and you submit to all these things that we're talking about, not having discernment and just kind of going along with the lower version of the Bible presented, you're going to, through your consciousness, experience that version of reality. Whereas if you pick the other version and you know the truth, you feel the truth, and you walk the other way, you're going to reach that higher version of reality. So it sounds like a spiritual, you know, it sounds like a spiritual warfare that's going on with reality right now. So for me, it seems like the change. Yeah, for me, it seems the changes are low frequency as it moves slightly further from the higher versions of our older reality. Yeah. And it's like humans are being gaslighted and made to think that their direct life experiences with these old verses that never were, never were. So almost like the older, more logical versions, which I think are much cooler versions and make more sense. We're completely scrubbed from reality, almost like free will is being slowly removed, and we're being coerced or manipulated into thinking we have choice, but really it's an accept this version of reality because there's no other versions to pick from within the consciousness of the Lord. So what are your thoughts in that? So
I completely agree with you. And so
are we being gaslighted by the Bible?
We're by the devil, who's in the details. And so this is a tactic, again, to lower the frequency and vibration, to get people in fear, to keep them in fear. And then once a person is in that fear-based, trauma-based way, with the frequency and vibration lowered, they're wide open and vulnerable for attack. And that's what's happening. That's why I'm so busy. There's so many people suffering in the world in that way. It's very sad. It's very tragic. And the only way that we can combat it is through real faith and just standing up in that level of faith, strength, and courage. And God will have honor and favor on us for our faith. It's easy to say, but difficult to do. But if you really get into that and into that warrior mode mindset, then you can become a victor. You'll no longer be a victim. You'll be a victor. And so it requires a lot of hard work. And most of all, it requires stronger than steel faith. Mm-hmm. But God, you know, if he would do that for me, Vaughn, he'll do it for anybody.
Right, right. And, you know, Reverend Bean, I think it's almost like a land grab, but it's a power Correct. Grab for the multiverse, for consciousness. And Correct. I taken it to almost kind of like, we prepared our whole life for a test. Now let's test you and see who really is going to pass the test. And a lot will be deceived.
And that's part of the great deception, which I believe is taking place right now. And so when you have people that are supposed to be of faith and they're condemning other people who are trying to speak truth, I'd say there's a great deception in there. And it's very sad and unfortunate, and it is leading to the confusion and division. And I want to share with you a few more of these scriptures. And I want to share one with you that I know you know very well.
I'm sure. You know, I want to add to that as well, because it seems to be a test of faith. Yeah. And it seems to be a test of morality. I'm not talking advanced ethics. I'm talking basic ethics. If somebody has fell from a heart attack or died or hurt himself in the busy street, like that video I saw in China, nobody is. There's not even courage. It's just like basic ethics. Are you okay? Can I help you? Let me go get an ambulance. But nobody wants to go there because they are so scared of the Confederacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's like basic 101 ethics. And it starts tipping away little by little by little by little to the point that's the society that you live in. And then the children are raised in that. And that's their version of ethics.
Correct. So, So each generation that comes along, they're more and more desensitized. They're led further away from God, and they are more enveloped and engrossed in themselves. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happening here. So people could drop dead in front of some people and they just walk right over them.
Yeah, they never stop. They never stop.
Somebody can have a thought.
It's totally true. I by my house a couple of years ago, there was somebody who got hit by a car, and he was riding his bike, and his helmet flew a couple feet away, and he was foaming at the mouth, and he was just the bike. He was in the middle of the lane, and the bike had move, and you can obviously tell that he got hit by a car. And I had my dog, we went grocery shopping, and so I stopped and I put the blinkers on and I checked on him. And then another gentleman and his wife stopped, and he worked in construction, so he put the cones all around it. Yeah. But we were the only two that stopped. Everybody else came around and just started calling us names, saying, get off the street, you know, like we're a nuisance. And we're like, hello.
You're caring for a person that yeah. is been mortally, you know, gravely injured,
yeah,
and could die,
exactly,
and yet people are so hard-hearted that they see you as a nuisance.
You're a nuisance for
convenience to them.
Yeah, so we called the ambulance, and we gave him the police report and all that, and I saw the gentleman many weeks later. He's no longer riding his bike, but now he's walking with an arm brace and a little limp, but he's alive, and you know, God bless him. I hope he recovers really well. Yeah. I think he has, because I've seen him around and he's gotten better. But the experience is you getting to work or getting to your destination that important that people are not going to understand that you're late because you have tried to help somebody who got hit by a car? Are people that callous that they can't understand that excuse?
And see, so this is where the devil's in the details again, because he is selfish. So it's all about him. And so that is the theme of the world, especially in America now, and especially with our youth. It's all about me. I don't care about anyone or anything. It's all about me. And that's what the devil wants. So Jesus, he was selfless. He would put himself last, even wash the feet of his disciples. And the message in that was that he cared about everybody and put everybody before himself. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to have that level of caring and love and compassion for our fellow man. And yet we see the reverse. And that is absolutely the devil in the details, to where people become that self-absorbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Way. Yeah. So in my perspective, here's my perspective, and I get everybody's perspective, but in my perspective, okay, it's Christmas, it's a you know, Easter, it's some kind of major holiday, and then everybody's feeling very kind and generous, and they're volunteering and doing all these wonderful things, volunteering soup kitchens, wonderful, that's wonderful. But when it is not time to everybody to acknowledge and be kind to each other, and it's just everyday life,
yeah,
that's what I notice happening in society, is just this callousness and this non-detachment of compassion. When nobody's looking and you're not going to be rewarded, no one's going to pat you on the back at church, go, oh, thank you for volunteering to that soup kitchen for Christmas Eve, which is great, by the way, but when there's no reward and no acknowledgement and you just do it because that's who you are, that's the test.
I agree.
So you said you had a couple, you said you had a couple more verses for us. So thank you for sharing us some of your verses, because I don't think I could open up this old Bible anymore. I think I just broke it apart even more, you guys.
Oh my. Well, here's one that I know you know, and a lot of people know. This is the story of Samson and Delilah. Okay, so the story always went that Samson was like the super strong guy, and he had this long hair, and he was like a savior to his people. This is in the book of Judges. And Samson was called by God, again, to be a savior to his people. He was super strong, super powerful. He meets this woman, Delilah, falls in love with her. And she was working for the other guys. And so she was an infiltrator, and she caused Samson, he trusted her completely, but it was during one of these times that they were together, he falls asleep and she cuts his hair. So Samson had never had his hair cut. That was where his power was, in his hair. She cut off his hair. He lost his power. They took him into custody. And then he ended up pulling the pillars down on the whole temple, killing everybody, including himself. That's how the story went. That's how it always was. Mm-hmm. And now let me read this to you. This is Judges 16, verse 19. And now this is Samson and Delilah. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. No, absolutely not. It was Delilah who cut the hair of Samson, not seven locks. She cut all of his hair. And now it's, she caused him to fall asleep and calls a man in that cuts off seven locks of his hair. Preposterous.
Mm-hmm. That kind of reminds me of the Boaz story about him and his wife. Okay, so if you look at some of the versions of I didn't get a chance to look this one up, but some of the versions of Boaz and his wife, instead of Boaz, which is B-O-A-Z, it's now Booz, B-O-O-Z, which is weird. Booz is like, well, Booz. And in Buddhism, I will tell you definitively, because we have Yeshua in our scrolls, one of many teachers that has come through the schools, he had a son that he named Boaz, B-O-A-Z, one of three children that he has, Sarah, I can't remember the second one, and then Boaz. For sure it was Boaz, because it's written in our scrolls as Boaz. And I don't know where this booze comes from, but that's different.
It's just, again, it's preposterous. Here's another one. Genesis 40, verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things, now the original word was cup bearer. So now it says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt.
That's like the Matrix. And that's like the Matrix instead of the womb, and Confederacy instead of conspiracy, and booze
and here,
instead
here's
of
a
Boaz.
Word, Vaughn. Here's a word for you that you're going to go, what? This is a word that does not exist in the English language to this day. This is Leviticus 21:20. It says, or crook-backed. Now, this should say hunchback, but it says crook, C-R-O-O-K-B-A-C-K-T, crook. Backed. That word does not exist in the English language. Or dwarf, or that have a blemish in his eye, be scurvy or scab. So it was originally hunchback, and now it's crookback. And yeah, here's
it was originally hunchback because people recognize it from the reference to the Bible, because the hunchback of Notre Dame is kind of like a homage to the reference of the Bible, and like kind of the same kind of moral story in the Hunchback of Notre Dame. It kind of triggers the same moral story in the Bible of the hunchback reference there. So there's some bleed through there.
And here's another one. This is Numbers 11, verse 12. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that they should have say unto me, carry them in my bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, a nursing father? That originally said nursing woman. And now it says a nursing father beareth the sucking child.
So nursing my question is, okay, because one of the arguments is, well, maybe it's just kind of a loss in translation over years. You know, you have loss in translation from, I can understand booze from Boaz is kind of like a one word difference, but concepts are different. Yeah. Okay. So how can you get a lamb versus a wolf different? That's like a whole concept that's different. How totally can you different. Get biologically nursing a child, which is a female thing, the science, correct. How can you get that concept different than now it's a man can nurse, you know, like a man can give birth to
from
a baby
his
and
chest,
nurse
yeah,
and
his breast.
And nurse.
Yeah.
I mean, what is this a whole transgender thing propaganda that started off in the Bible or something? I mean,
it's funny you say that, because these things are being added in that way. And I'm going to read a few more for you that's going to give you clear indication that's exactly what's going on. Another one here, Numbers 23, verse 22. Now, many places in the Bible, you will see the word ox. He is strong as an ox. That's where the saying comes from, strong as an ox. That comes from the Bible. But now ox has been replaced. Numbers 23, verse 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. A unicorn. It was strength as of an ox, and now it's unicorn.
Yeah. What did the unicorn? Where's the unicorn come from? It's almost comical, because we got emojis, we got unicorns, we got men giving birth to. And I'm sorry, you guys. I totally respect transgender and all that. You could do whatever you want to do. You're allowed to live your life how you want to live your life. But there are certain things that are just truths. Okay. And women now, give birth and breastfeed, not men. And any man who shows you on TikTok that they are giving birth, that's a woman.
Correct.
That's posing as a man. Because
I'm
that's
glad
how
you're saying this, Vaughn. That's you're exactly right.
Okay. And it, you can argue all you want. And I've seen this too in TikTok, where it's a man who is pregnant and gave birth. That is a woman pretending to be a man, because that man identifies as a woman. So that's fine. And then he has reshaped himself to look and act and be a man. But he did not go through and change, physically have a sex change. So technically, he is still a woman. And that's how he's able to be pregnant and give birth and nurse the baby, because physically, scientifically, biologically, he is still a woman that is identifying as a man. So,
correct. Absolutely correct. Furthermore, we have verses now, and I'm looking as you're saying that. There are many scriptures now that talks about being born out of the bowels of the mother, out of the bowels, no longer the womb, the bowels, being born out of the bowels of the woman.
Yeah. So here's my question, because again, this is the question of not just getting certain words confused, lost in translation. This is whole concepts lost in translation. And when you try to teach children, and then they get, and they passes on generation to generation, then they get confused. And then, you know, time passes by because they have been confused about certain logical facts most of their life. And then they're childbearing years go on, and then they don't have the opportunities come and go. So my question is, there's obviously an intent with these changes, okay? Is there like a depopulation intent or something? Because that's what would be the purpose of this?
Well, that is part of it. Yeah, you better believe it. They want to
because what they're doing. Yeah, because like when you reference women as you know, the womb is the matrix, the woman is the bowels and stuff, and it's basically subjugating and demonizing and putting women down in the totem pole, like they're not worthy, and raising men up all of a sudden to be this goddess of life. And you know, so what's the intent of this?
Yeah, the intent is, and again, you see the devil's fingerprints all over this. So
I do.
His order is order out of chaos. So that means everything is upside down and backwards. And that's exactly what's happening here. So if you notice, and look, I love all people. I'm not against anybody, but I speak the truth. And I do not compromise in my values, that's for sure. But the theme now, you see that they're making men effeminate, weak, and they're building women up to be tough and strong and masculine. So they're switching the roles and making the man the weak, feminine one, and the woman, you know, the strong and masculine one. I see that clearly. So the devil has had this short time to try and literally try and recreate the world in his image, after his likeness, after his kind. That's what he's doing. His time's running out, that's for sure. But that's what's happening here. In Philippians 1:8, it says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." In the bowels? Again, that's just one of many examples I could give to you about being born out of the bowels of the mother, no longer the womb, it's coming out of the bowels. Just some of the most, and there's another one, Revelation 1:13, that used to describe Jesus as a commanding officer with a gold sash going across his chest. Mm-hmm. And now it says that he has a girt about the paps, that's a bra across the breast, and a golden girdle. So describing him as a transsexual now.
Mm-hmm. Which is not how Buddhists would back up that at all. Like, we don't, like, none of the monks or the students in training did any of the monasteries throughout all Buddhism and Hinduism play in these gender games at all.
It's very sad and unfortunate, Vaughn. And again, I have nothing against anybody. I love all people. I've helped people from all walks of life and will continue to do so. But when we look at the bigger picture here, I'm convinced firmly that this is a complete mock of God and an attempted takeover to lead people away from God and then create a new version where anything goes and there is no law, there is no order, there is nothing other than complete chaos and do what thou will is the whole of the law, which comes from none other than Aleister Crowley, who preached that during his time. So that's what we're seeing.
You know, Reverend, let me ask you this. For other pastors reading most popular scriptures in the Bible and then reading the supposed accurate version, which they know is not the version that they read and have memorized muscle memory with, what do you make of that? Because, I mean, I just envision these pastors up there reading this going, yes, and now the wolf should lie with the lamb. Yes. Believe it, people. You know? Yeah. I mean, I just envision a lot of pastors up there at the podiums having almost a secret conundrum going on.
and a lot of that has to do with money as well, because they don't have the courage to tell the truth, and B, they don't want to upset the apple cart. So they don't want any type of upset in the church because they need that attendance and they want that cash register continue to ring. So they're not going to do anything to upset that little balance. So they'll continue to teach a cookie cutter message, pat the people on the head and say, see you next week and bring your checkbook with you. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's what it is. A great deal has to do with that. Here's another one that, but I want to leave you with this.
Leave us with a last message.
Yeah.
And then also, where can we grab your books and get a copy of it as well? So,
well, I'm going to tell you about this little passage first, and then I'll let you know about the other stuff after that. My cousin sent me a video clip recently of a very well-known mega preacher up there giving a sermon. And he actually said this, Vaughn, and I could not believe that this individual recited this, knowing the truth, and recited it anyway. So in Revelation 19:16, it says, and it never said this before, he has a vesture on his thigh and a name written. Never said that. King of kings and Lord of lords. Okay, so in the Holman version, it says, and this is Revelation 19:16, he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh. Absolutely not. So now he's Rocky with a tattoo on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's preposterous. It was never there, and now it's there. And this mega preacher who gets 20-some thousand people coming to his church every week, and he's all over TV, he recited that and had no problem reciting that to all those thousands of people. And I heard that and I just shook my head, and I just absolutely unbelievable. How could you How could you stand in front of all those people and recite that and act like nothing's wrong with that and treat that as truth when you know it's a blatant lie and it is a blatant mock of God and Jesus Christ?
Yeah. You know, God does find some curious ways to make spirituality cool again and encourage us to work together to go over humanity's hurdles. And, you know, what do you think? Should we use the Bible changes as encouragement to read closely our Bibles and cross-reference wisdom from each other?
That's what my message is, Vaughn. Yeah, absolutely. I think people, A, need to move closer to God than ever before. And B, in doing so, God will bless them with wisdom and discernment. Now, the people have to have that ability to, or the want and desire to seek knowledge, because again, knowledge is power. And you should always thirst for that. So yes, it can be a positive thing, because I'd rather know the truth any day than to follow along in a lie. I was born to be a leader, and I praise God for that. I am not a follower of anybody. And so I completely rely on God to guide me in my ways. Am I perfect? No. Do I claim to be? Absolutely not. But I do the best that I can do, and I try to be the best that I can be each and every day of my life. Why? Because I am that committed to God and that committed to my fellow man as well. So I have to, if I'm committed to God in that way, I'm committed to excellence. Mm-hmm. So if I'm committed to excellence, then I have to do the best that I can do and be the best that I can be each and every day. And I want to thank you so much for having me on. It's been great. I wish I could stay longer with you, but I can't. And we'll do a part two if you want to do a part two in the future.
I had so much fun. Where can people grab your books?
For anybody out there, if you want to get a copy of my book or books, you can visit BillBeanWarrior.com. And if you want to have a spiritual deliverance session with me, a counseling session, whatever it may be, same thing. Visit the website BillBeanWarrior.com, and you can book a session with me on the site there. So I'm very busy, but never too busy to help somebody. And I hope that we can do a follow-up interview in the future, because there's a lot more to talk about. That's for sure.
Well, Reverend Bill Bean, it was so much fun to do this exercise and go over the Bible changes with you and discuss the potential ramifications. Again, for more information about Reverend Bill Bean's offerings, his website is BillBeanWarrior.com. It's in the show description. And we leave you with this last unchanged Bible verse from Mark 10:27. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible.
Love it.
So believe in yourselves and believe in miracles, everyone. Thank you kindly for listening to another enlightening conversation. Until next time, blessings.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.